And a good morning today on our program, joined by Michael Brandhorst, one of the pharmacists from the Boone County Hospital. Michael, thanks for taking time to come and visit with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me there, Jim. I appreciate it.
A little bit of a health talk kind of program for him today. And one of the things that I knew was going on was Antibiotic Awareness Week. And that was last week. It was over Thanksgiving. And everybody thought, okay, well, what's that all about? And that is probably one of the things that... As a pharmacist, you probably hear from physicians and other healthcare professionals. A lot of people say, "Well, I need antibiotics for this. I need something for this. Give me something for this." What are antibiotics really? What do they deal with?
Well, that's a good question. I think it's antibiotic is a term that most of us are pretty familiar with in society today, but. I just like to think going back when were antibiotics even started. So in 1928, a guy by the name of Alexander Fleming discovered the first antibiotic, penicillin. And ever since then, I would suggest that is one of the biggest advances that we had in medicine and even in society, that we were able to treat infections when they occurred instead of people dying from them. And so really, when you think about it, 1928 was not that long ago, not even 100 years ago yet. And what we've been enjoying the benefits of antibiotics, and essentially what they do is just kill bacteria without killing human body cells. Or maybe better put, they slow the growth of the bacteria so that our immune systems can take care of them and keep us and help us to get well again.
So what for antibiotics, when people go to their physician and stuff, they get prescribed an antibiotic.
Right. Yes. Yep.
So what does it treat? What doesn't it treat?
Good question. Antibiotics are going to treat, or they're going to kill bacteria specifically. There's other things that we do get infected with, like viruses and fungus and those types of things that it does not touch. And so the problem and the hard part is a lot of times the symptoms of a bacterial infection sometimes mimic or look a lot like a viral infection. And so sometimes it's a little bit hard to figure out which one we're treating, but doctors have ways to do that. And so
tests, don't they?
They do. Yes.
So they'll do tests and they'll figure it out which one they're going to be dealing with.
Yeah.
And people are still looking for, but I need something to cure,
Right.
And
yep.
No, not necessarily something that's going to happen. So again, why is it important to only take antibiotics when they're needed? Because I know that those are this. You said basically antibiotics only around less than 100 years, really.
Right.
And we're already seeing issues that come up because of probably improper use.
Yeah, correct. So and even to kind of go back to that history a little bit, even though it was discovered in 1928, we really weren't using it in full earnest until the 1940s. And that was even expedited because of World War II. And we needed something to help treat these men and women on the battlefields that were getting limbs blown off, and we could treat them with infection. And so, but the society in general, we really haven't been using them until the late 1940s, but even almost immediately, resistance started to become an issue. And just like any living organism, God made organisms to fight and to develop mechanisms to survive. Mm-hmm. And so bacteria are no different. Almost immediately when we started using antibiotics, we found that, they're becoming resistant to some things becoming resistant to our antibiotics that we have out there. And so it's kind of a race of survival, I guess, if you will. And so we need to use these more judiciously if we can, and only when we need them, because the kind of the basic thing is the more we use them, the more resistance will incur and the less available they'll be when we really need them. And so that's one of the big reasons. Another reason is I think some of the misconception out there is that they're just safe to use. If I get an antibiotic and it really wasn't necessary, oh well, I'll just finish a course and it'll be just fine. But we're finding a lot more that antibiotics are not necessarily exactly safe all the time. In fact, almost a third of ER visits for medication-related side effects are from antibiotic use. And some of those effects are, you know, just in general, like nausea and vomiting are a big thing that people will notice right away. But even as a pharmacist, I know we almost every antibiotic we have to dose appropriately based on a patient's kidney function. And so it can be really hard on kidneys function, and we really need those kidneys. Another big one that we're finding is that the antibiotics can wipe out our normal or the good bacteria in our guts if we overuse them, and that just leaves us more susceptible to opportunistic infections that are really hard to treat at that point.
Well, now we're talking probiotics too.
There you go. That's kind of that all came in too. Yeah,
these are all it's because that is a good bacteria we want.
Correct.
Yeah, and if you do it, that, a lot of implications, aren't there?
That's right. So it's not just if you take an antibiotic, there are negative effects of that. This, you know, as well. But I will point out that antibiotics are life-saving and are very, very precious drugs that we have to help people to, and when we need them, we want them there for us.
Yeah. So do what your physician says.
That's right. Yeah.
And your pharmacist too.
There you go.
Because they'll say, you taking this? And, people can misuse, you mentioned misuse antibiotics. And again, that starts to build up some of that that resistance issue out
there.
Correct.
Yes, correct. Again, it kind of goes back to, what can you do as a patient? I mean, your doctors and the healthcare system has known this for quite some time, and it's built some momentum trying to really be judicious with our antibiotics and when we use them. But as a community member, being aware of this is also very important. When you go to your doctor, you can expect not to just get an antibiotic. Maybe if you feel like you're sick, maybe you've got the chills, fever, maybe you got the snuffly nose, maybe a sinus infection. Don't automatically assume that you're just going to get an antibiotic for that. Doctors or physicians are really doing a good job of differentiating between when you need one and when you don't. And again, like I said, a virus, a lot of these things are viral, colds and influenza, COVID, those are all.
Well, I was going to go yeah. back. Yeah. The viruses are probably more prevalent than some of the bacteria.
Right. A lot of these respiratory infections that we get are going to be viral in nature. And really, there's not a whole lot. There's nothing that an antibiotic will do. It's just kind of about managing symptoms and getting the rest and recovery that we can do from those.
I was gonna say Antibiotic Awareness Week last week, of course. So a big effort, obviously, to make people aware. Right. Antibiotics are really an important part to treatments for physicians and pharmacists. Yeah, obviously, you get to they prescribe them. You guys fill those prescriptions and stuff. But if they don't use them in the prescribed manner, that's when we start running into issues.
Right. And, there's a lot of things, healthcare right now is going through a lot of changes over the last decade or so has been really in earnest of trying to be good stewards of antibiotic use. And it's really a team approach. And we call it antibiotic stewardship. And maybe to put that in kind of something that, public would kind of understand more is maybe being good stewards of your finances. It's similar. You want, if you're being a good steward of your finances, you are, you're spending what you need on what you need right now, but also saving some money for the future when you really need it, maybe when you don't have that money available. And so it's kind of like that with antibiotics. We're going to treat right now those things that need to be treated for sure and use those antibiotics, but we also want to make sure we have sustainability and be able to treat infections down the road. And so we're doing a lot of things in the hospital to try to reduce the exposure to antibiobiotics. And we could go down some of that if you want.
Sure. Well, I was gonna say, like, and I wanted to hit on to antimicrobials, which kind of a offshoot of antibiotics. I got to go back to, let's go back to the pandemic, because a lot of people, everything, spray it down, wipe it down. That was part of, that created a big issue, I think, because people were going ahead and using antimicrobials and stuff like that for a virus.
That's a good point that you bring up. Just a little bit, maybe can be some confusion. There's a lot of agents that will kill bacteria, and we use those, bleach and those things on countertops, and we can't consume those types of things, right? So that might be kind of a different area of things to think about. You know, are we, you know, exposing, you know, or killing too many things all the time with our, like, bleaching agents and cleaners? Antibiotics are really special because we can actually consume those. We can't consume bleach, right? Mm-hmm. So that we can consume an antibiotic, and what it does is it targets and keeps a bacteria from growing in our body and allow without killing the normal cells. So really, when we're talking to antibiotic stewardship, we're really looking at those things that can infect our bodies, mm-hmm. and not so much on the use of cleaners, which is probably a whole nother topic we could go a long ways there.
Like in the hospital setting and stuff, mm-hmm. and I know that there are issues that come up when some bacteria resistant things start to show up, or right. some that are resistant to some of the antibiotics that are available. That's the part that people, we hope we don't have to ever do any stories like that.
Right. And the truth is, you know, resistant bacteria are with us. I mean, they're here, and it's just a matter of trying to manage that. And we have, like I said, we have a team at the hospital, between physicians and nursing and pharmacists that help manage that and to help keep those precious antibiotics useful for a long time. And so one of the things we do to try to help limit the use and limit the exposure that people get is if you need an antibiotic, And you really need it. Yep, you get that. But let's in the past, a lot of times we would maybe get that for a 10-day or 14-day course, and you know, maybe you're feeling better within a couple of three mm-hmm. days, right? But traditionally, we said, okay, finish that antibiotic after, you know, for 10, 14, just to really make sure we get that bacteria killed. You know, that's changed a lot in recent history. So because we know that, you know, the longer you're exposed to it, the more resistance can be incurred. And so what we're finding is that even as much as 7 days and as little as even 3 days is plenty for depending on the infection type. And so we're really trying to make sure that depending on whether it's a respiratory sure. or a UTI or something, that that we're only treating it for the amount of time that's needed, 3 to 7 days. And so getting patients off of the antibiotics quicker, so that helps to reduce the exposure. Mm-hmm. Another thing that we're trying to do is limit the amount of broad spectrum antibiotics, and just kind of like maybe like a thinking broad spectrum, we're a farming community, so we kind of have heard broad spectrum. What yeah. broad spectrum does is it kills a lot of stuff, and mm-hmm. and the bacteria, you know, antibiotics that are broad spectrum will kill a lot of different bacteria. That sometimes when we go into the doctor, they don't know what we're trying mm-hmm. to treat in there, which kind of, we know it's a bacteria, but don't know exactly which one. So we mm-hmm. give them a broad spectrum antibiotic. Well, the problem with having that on board for a long time is that it kills everything. You know, you think about your yard.
Yeah.
If you killed everything in your yard, you'd also kill the grass. Well, yeah. now you really leave it open for the weeds to come in, right? Yeah. So we don't want that to happen. So we try to narrow that spectrum down as quickly as we can, based on culture results and those types of things.
So you get to be in, like, in the hospital and the pharmacy there. You see our physicians, how they start to pick. I mean, newer physicians, younger physicians, they don't automatically go to that broad spectrum unless they're really at a loss.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and a lot of times we do have to start with a broad spectrum, like I said, because, you know, we have an idea of what kind of bacteria is typical for a certain infection. You know, a lot of pneumonias are strep pneumonia, but mm-hmm. we don't know for sure. And so we want to make sure that we treat the other things that might be there. And so it a lot of times ends up starting on a broad spectrum, but we get a culture, and as soon as that culture gets back, we want to be responsive to that right away and get it narrowed down if those bugs, the bug that you have, is susceptible mm-hmm. to something that is more narrow, and we'll treat it effectively.
Treating the or getting rid of the bug, the bacteria stuff, might not get rid of all your symptoms right away.
Right. That's a good point. Yeah. So, you know, that's the thing that's kind of hard for patients, I think, is that we may treat it for 5 days, and that's plenty. You still may have symptoms for weeks at a time, you know, maybe yeah. even a month. And that's pretty normal, you know, to be hanging on to something, just the symptoms, but that maybe you aren't infected anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what, again, a good way, obviously, we want to keep good bacteria.
Right.
People, there is good bacteria, people.
Right.
So, and yep. Kind of like there's good cholesterol and bad cholesterol.
Right.
So we have some good bacteria. We have some bad bacteria. We want to keep the good bacteria. We don't want to overdo it.
Right.
What are the best ways, like just regular at home kind of things mm-hmm. you do to, again, try to avoid getting some of the infection. Try to avoid having to take antibiotics
right.
if you can.
No, that's good. No, and that's one of the things that we can all do collectively is to just avoid antibiotic use. Is how can we avoid getting infection? And so, yeah, there's a couple things. You know, it kind of comes back to just some of the things that we've always known, right? Just good nutrition. You know, good balanced nutrition. You know, let's not make sure we're getting good fruits and vegetables in our diet.
Good. That keeps you good. That you're a good bacteria too.
Right. Right. Yes. Yep. And good. And you know, make sure our bodies are getting plenty of rest because we want to keep our immune system healthy. We want to keep that. That's really what's fighting off bacteria all the time. Viral, all those types of infection is our immune system is a beautiful gift. And if we're treating it well and keeping it healthy, then we're going to be able to fight off that bacteria. And antibiotics, like I said, they can help. You know, a lot of times they prevent the growth of bacteria. If we need something that's, you know, we get infection, we get disease, it kind of prevents that replication and helps our immune system finish it off. So it's really about helping our immune system stay strong. And really that goes down to just the things that we've always known as good nutrition, good rest, plenty of fluids. And there's no, you know, magic to this, you know, thing. There's no magic way to keep our immune system up necessarily, but those are like the big things.
The big things is, again, try to keep your health up.
Exactly.
The best way you can. Obviously, some of the simple things on the virus side, too, wash your hands.
Right.
Wash countertops.
Right.
Things that you don't need to use a lot of different things on it. Occasionally, depends what you're doing with that countertop, of course.
That's right. And you know, washing, good hand hygiene, keeping your hands washed and those types of things are just good for preventing getting a bacterial load or viral load into your body where you can, because the more exposure you have to it, the more it's going to test your immune system.
So when they put antibacterial soap out there, it's a good old soap, just a regular soap is soap.
Yeah.
You don't need to go overboard on it. But
yeah, the main thing there is just the abrasion, the washing and the soap action on your hands and lifting up those particles and washing down the drain. And, you know, that not necessarily necessary to have antibacterial in there because those bacteria going down the drain, so we don't, you know, just that's the main idea with washing hands.
Yeah, I was going to say, it takes me back to watching the old 4-H program where they would put the dye on your hand and then, you know, go wash your hands and then put the black light on them so you could see where did I miss.
Isn't that fascinating when you see that? You don't see those things, but until you put those black light on, that's really a eye opener.
It does. Again, it was Antibiotic Awareness Week last week, but really throughout the year, people should pay attention to this. If they want to find out more information, what's a good way to go about finding out more about antibiotics, using them properly? Obviously, visit with your physician. They'll always tell you.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's that's a great question. There's a lot of information out there. Maybe some good and some bad information. The CDC website is a great place if you want to find out what's going on currently and what kind of things you can do to help with this initiative to keep those precious antibiotics useful for a very long time. Because that's ultimately what we want to do is be able to treat what we need to treat and keep them useful and sustainable. You can talk to your pharmacist. You can talk to your physician. They're very knowledgeable about these things. And we're just trying to get the community more aware of this and make it a partnership together.
I was going to say one of the things, too, is constantly learning about the impact, the implications. Again, running into some resistance and things like that. This is I always say it's under construction, like the website. Yeah, you know, you're always learning things. New things are coming up because bacteria is constantly changing.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. And it, like I said, it's a living organism. We can't see with our naked eye, but it's trying to survive as well. And it develops these mechanisms of resistance. And it is really a fight in a race to which is going to win out, you know, and the bacteria will continue to evolve to find ways to find resistance mechanisms when we're trying to make new antibiotics all the time.
Yeah.
But that's not a guarantee. And when we get these resistance bugs, it really really reduces our pool of options to treat when we really need it.
Michael Brandhorst, once again, he is a pharmacist, Boone County Hospital, part of the pharmacy group there, and do appreciate you taking time to come and visit with us and let us know about Antibiotic Awareness Week.
I appreciate you having me here.
And once again, people, Boone County Hospital's got resources to find out more about it, and physicians that'll be glad to help you and answer your questions for you, too.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, you bet. Have a great day.